They always talk about catching up with the fans, like it's been a real effort to we managed to track down these people.
We must do it more often. We only see each other every time a new Harry Potter book comes out. It's terrible, isn't it? I know. We should really meet under better circumstances.
Yeah, I only ever see you when you're waving desperately at the cameras outside Blackwell's.
Blue Valkyrie!
Yeah.
We were discussing shows where they just go through the front of newspapers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of... It's weirdly boring, isn't it? It's also like... newspapers themselves seem quite old-fashioned now. The idea of someone actually having them in the office, in the studio and like lifting them up and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
I've got these sheaves of paper. Let's look at them.
Yeah. A gentleman has brought the broadsides. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's all printed, it's definitely out of date. We know that.
Yeah.
Let's see about it.
Well, I can't really remember any details of going through the front pages now, but I feel like, did they only do like the sort of the more reputable news? Because it'd be very funny, someone on the BBC had to be like, oh, and the Daily Mail's gone with, are gypsies lowering your house price?
Well, it's
very interesting.
It'd be fun on the BBC. It's like, yes, and now the Daily Sport. yes, we can't show this paper.
They do that thing where it's like... They say the dumb papers at the end in that descending voice, where they do like if someone shot the Prime Minister, they do all the front pages about that, and then they would say, and the Daily Muck has gone for story about horses.
Yeah,
and then
they just straight on something else. Yeah,
and then it's straight onto a new piece of news.
The Daily Muck. It's like the Stable Muck. Hands magazine for mucking out. That's what it's.
It started as that.
No, mucking out is their comedy section for and by Stable
Hands.
It was
bought out by Murdoch in the '80s.
Yeah, it started as a Stable Hands daily.
That's a real broadcaster skill. That thing of like communicating dislike by just that, as you say, that descending voice, and like
this.
And in cricket, yeah.
Well, it's the worst is the newsreaders on Radio 4 where they've just had to do some stupid fucking story about nothing. They go, lovely.
Yeah.
And then they move on. You go, oh, God, I'd rather you spat in my face.
It's when you can hear the papers being moved after they've made the withering. Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing, though. That has not happened in any other country but this one. No country in the world is like, well, time to read you the paper, children.
Yeah, it's so sort of oddly old-fashioned. People that... A weird number of people are still reassured by the actual newspaper.
The thing.
Yeah.
Of news.
I see in the newspaper, it's... Mm-hmm. I'm just remembering, this is slightly only half connected, but you remember in terms of things that you've seen a newsreader grudgingly say, remember when Blur v Oasis was a national talking point for a brief bit in the 90s, and people like Trevor McDonald would have to say, the pop group... Blur, and you can see him thinking, what the fuck are we talking about this on the 9? This is the 9 o'clock news. The song Country House, isn't it?
It caused quite a stir. Yeah, exactly.
Fans have been queuing outside. Our price is...
We approached Liam Gallagher for comment, who referred to Alex James as a stupid cunt.
Yeah, we'll see also serious news shows covering queues for midnight release of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it caught up with some of the fans earlier today. A few vox pops with some of the maddest people they could find.
Yeah.
They always talk about catching up with the fans, like it's been a real effort we managed to track down these people.
We must do it more often. We only see each other every time a new Harry Potter book comes out. It's terrible, isn't it? I know. We should really meet under better circumstances.
Yeah, I only ever see you when you're waving desperately at the cameras outside Blackwell's.
Yeah. that loose wave.
Yeah.
Will we ever see another situation where people are queuing outside bookshops at midnight, I suppose? That was a very...
That's true. That's all downloads now.
Yeah, and even if she released it, it's difficult to imagine. No. You just don't get it with the Ian McEwan releases.
She has released another sort of couple of books, but they get more and more about her, like... sort of obsessions.
Yeah,
It's the queuing at midnight to buy an Ian McEwan for me. They're like a guy dressed as Chesil Beach.
Yeah.
He's coming down. He's like, oh, no, I love the works of Ian McEwan. Yeah. I've often thought the symbolism he employs is...
Someone dressed as a sweeping look at the 20th century. Yeah. It'd be a great stunt to ask someone like Watson's to open just so you could go in and buy the...
That would be funny. Yeah.
Well, I've come as a precocious and mendacious 11-year-old girl who, through no knowing this, but sets into motion a series of tragic events.
Yeah, we've all come as forms of sexual trauma.
massive, and they're spreading a rumor through the queue that he might come. And
yeah, yeah,
he's in the queue in costume.
But everyone in the queue looks a bit like Ian McEwan anyway.
Yeah. Or like a Grisham novel queue, just all dads.
It's all people who could easily be John Grisham for you. Yeah.
A thousand dads in wraparound shades.
Yeah. I think the next level from that, of course, is the queue for the midnight release of the next Lee Child Jack Reacher book.
Just
guys queuing up in with like white t-shirts, cigarettes under them, all cleaning muscle cars, British guys doing American accents.
Yes.
And just one punch knocking out anybody who looks at them wrong.
For someone as famous as he is, I wouldn't know Lee Child. If he came in here now and he spoke authoritatively on the work of Lee Child, I'd still be like, he could be, but I don't know.
If you met Lee Child, would you be more or less creeped out if he was more or less like the character Jack Reacher? Because if he came in and he was like a 6'5" muscly combat man, you'd be like, oh, wait, are your weird books just about you fighting people?
But if he was a real sort of loser.
Yeah, then you'd be like, wait, is this a creepy fantasy? Which one is
worse? I think it'd be worse if he was the opposite of Jack Reacher.
The thing is, an Oxford Don, like one of those really old, like a tiny, diminutive, balding man with glasses. And he's like, good day. Have you enjoyed my Jack Reacher?
I suppose you're going to ask me about Mr. Reacher, are you?
Yeah. Yes, he's quite a rogue.
I'm most flattered about you queuing up to buy my music.
One of those authors that talks about their main character as though they are like a slightly crazy friend of theirs.
Lee Child refuses.
I think he's got a few surprises in store for us.
He says a couple of things I don't expect in this coming book. Right, he wrote the fucking thing.
You made it up.
Yeah,
this is from your brain.
The man doesn't exist.
He refuses to own a typewriter. He writes everything on paper, does Mr. Child. He has it typed out by a secretary, but he won't even be in the same room as a computer.
He's a right old slave driver, Mr. Child.
Never send an email.
You were going to say what he does look like, were you, Riley?
He does. He's sort of, he looks a bit like Bryan Cranston, but he's from Coventry. He's from Coventry.
I'm Coventry Bryan Cranston. Weird.
That's why I think the Jack Reacher novels are the strangest bit of British-American ophelia.
Yeah, I didn't know he's from Coventry.
Yeah, is
this Occidentalism, like Orientalism, but it's a guy from Britain has managed to create the perfect fictional American.
Can we see Lee Child?
It's very Cranston. He is very Cranston.
He does look quite a bit like Bryan Cranston.
That's somehow the midpoint
of what we were saying.
He looks like Sean Locke.
He does a bit.
And his real name is James Dover Grant.
That's a very British
name. James Dover Grant. he loves Kent.
He's so British
that
they had to call him James Dover Grant.
He's so white.
Yeah. Wow. It wasn't enough to just be called James.
Yeah. Vera Lynn would have sang about this guy.
Amazing.
Do you think that's what it takes to create the perfect American? You need to be a bit outside looking in, e.g. English.
What I do remember is, especially, this is especially true at LSE, there is a whole sort of type of European there who has clearly spent every single day wishing that they were in the Brooks Brothers riot in 2000.
Right.
Who is just an American who dresses like they're from Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
They've never been to America. They speak with an American accent because they went to international school.
Yeah.
And they're all sort of Swedish or German or whatever, and are just, they will tell you about, everything about the World Bank internship that they're applying. They are ultimate America booze. And I think Lee Child is sort of, has taken that one step further by, he must imagine himself as, because Jack Reacher, for those who might not know, is like the all-American man imagined by your average American fascist is what we have
down
to return
Andy
to.
McNabb.
Well, he solves, some people have been pointing out that he solves almost all of his problems through his largeness.
Same for Jack, he's fucking enormous.
Yeah. He's in the books, he's like 6'6", and keep going on about the size of his hand.
We need
the
someone
size of
to
dinner
plug
plates
this
comes up
doorway.
So yeah. I just...
We need something to eat my dinner off of.
It can't be a plate. It has to be a human part.
Yeah. put that sizzling food on my raw hand.
Three Michelin stars. You eat. It's a restaurant where all of the plates are the hands of a large man.
If you think of dinner plates, that's a massive claim. I mean,
I always think, do they mean the palm is a dinner plate or the whole expanse?
They would
the sort of plate you get at a buffet. Yeah, like a smaller,
little Japanese bowls, maybe.
Yeah, like a Toby Carvery dinner plate.
Hands the size of finger bowls, tiny, chilling hands, terrifying little hands.
Yeah,
hands the size of children's saucers.
I'd read something about a Jack Reacher type figure that had weirdly tiny hands.
Yeah. It makes the force of the punch is so concentrated in one area. Yeah, just like a knife.
You're never expecting it. You think, look at that man with his puny fist.
Or you think his fist's very far away.
Yeah. Yeah. Just perspective
rocketing towards you.
How did you do that? If you were 10 feet away.
Whoa. I thought you were still drawing your hand back to punch me.
That's my superpower, man.
And then being American. Yeah. My tiny
hands. Fascinating that this like seeming paradigm of super Americanness is. A 69-year-old in Coventry is imagining
Lee
that.
Child must have an erection the whole time he's writing this, right?
I hope so.
I think everyone does when they're writing books. I know I do.
That's what inspiration is, isn't it? It's not metaphorical.
It's a real problem.
If one writes with an erection, it does prevent one from getting up from one's writing table.
Write hard, edit soft. That's what Hemingway said. Yeah, write hard, edit limp.
The ancient Persians, it was said, would have always discuss a battle plan twice.
Yeah.
Once while they were hard and once while they were soft. Yep. If they agreed both times, they would do it.
Yeah. You discuss the battle plan, then you all fuck, and then you discuss it again.
No, that's the Greeks.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, that's more their speed.
I feel like we need to hear his voice now. Has anyone heard him talk?
I haven't.
I'm fascinated by the fact that he went with the sort of nom de plume of Lee Child.
Well, there's a reason. There's a Wikipedia page. There's a reason for it. I didn't read the reason, but
it's an ironic nickname because I'm, of course, a man.
I'm an adult.
Yeah. My name's not Lee.
That's modern research. I looked it up on Wikipedia and I didn't look at what the thing was on Wikipedia, but I'm aware it's on.
I saw the heading.
There is an answer
reasons
to that
for
question.
Pseudonym. Yeah. And I went,
I read
there
a book
reason.
About Lee Child. Well, a Wikipedia page. Well, a heading.
Look, that's the level of research that goes into this one.
Yeah. I respect it.
This is not TF.
Writing style.
He'd be retiring from writing Jack Reacher and giving it to his brother Andrew Grant, who will now, I assume, be taking the name Lee Child.
Yeah,
he's possibly
under the who would write? I didn't finish the sentence. Who would write further books under the name Lee Child?
Amazing, Lee Child is a transferable name.
It's like the Pope. They've elected a new Lee Child.
Yeah,
it's called the conclave.
Smoke is blown out. Smoke from a chimney.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened before, but very odd to think of Lee Child potentially going on for generations.
His pen name Lee comes from a family joke about a heard mispronunciation of the name of Renault's Le Car as Lee Car. Calling anything Lee became a family gag, and his daughter Ruth was Lee Child.
Yeah, I wouldn't open with this.
Yeah. Child places his books alphabetically on bookshop and library shelves between Raymond Chandler and Agatha Christie. This is a very strangely written Wikipedia page because it just goes into where Child is in the alphabet relative to other novels.
There's a heading with the bookshop tactics.
Yeah. All his books are printed on paper. He's very clear on that. Yeah. He's very clear.
Vellum.
Yeah. You're unlucky if you're a little known author with those same sort of letters.
So he said he chose the name Reacher for the central character because he himself is quite tall.
Okay.
This guy's got a fairly Route 1 imagination.
He's always being asked to reach things for people.
That's the next sentence. And when they were going grocery shopping, his wife Jane remarked, quote, hey, if this writing thing doesn't pan out, you could always be a reacher in a supermarket. And I thought, reacher, good name.
Giving people a reach around.
It's not. No one is called reacher and no one is called child.
I like the idea of a guy whose imagination means that, like, all the sort of art he makes means one more thing and no more things than the one more thing.
I
found myself in a branch of Sainsbury's and I heard...
He was a tall fellow.
And I heard a gentleman say to a shop assistant in the alcoholic beverages aisle, could you reach me that bottle of Jack? And I thought, I must return to my desk.
And a light bulb came on. In my trousers. It suggested I had to return to my desk.
My writer's semi began to reappear, and I dropped my goods and my nectar card and made haste.
In 2009, he funded 52 Jack Reacher scholarships for students at the University of Sheffield.
What the fuck?
That's funny.
I'm on the Jack Reacher scholarship. You
smashed a dean in the face on your first.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you've got to do at university. You've got to punch the biggest guy there.
You punch the most senior academic you can
find. And then you take their professorship.
Yeah.
Your exam is a written assessment and then a fight.
You get the Jack Reacher scholarship by fighting your way through a sort of university building of henchmen. To get to the dean, and then that's how you qualify.
And it's just the size of the hands that determines whether you get the scholarship or not.
The scholarship is a very large ball that you have to sort of carry with one hand.
Just as you think you've choked out the dean, the real dean walks out of a back room just going. But he was but a decoy. No Jack Reacher scholarship for you. You'll find there are snipers trained from all angles.
You're dead.
Yeah. It's just like laser dots on him. You won't be coming to the University of Sheffield this year.
Do you think Wikipedia ruins it in the same way this, like, we've now found out that there's exactly one and no more layers to all of the things that this man has imagined. Well, and if it was a painting, you'd be like, man, what are you? And you see Michelangelo here, the cherubim in the corners of the... Yes, those are angels, like in heaven. Just one layer.
Right, okay. I was thinking about angels, and so he painted some.
Because he had heard...
Well, church, innit?
It was for the church, and he had heard from the church that angels are in heaven, and that is where the church would like you to go.
That's what I asked for. I'm a Buddhist myself. I don't know anything about it, but I mean, one layer of symbolism. On the ceiling.
So, there's a recording of Lee Child's voice on his Wikipedia page.
All right, okay.
Absolutely. It was about working out my own feelings in that book. The same thing was happening to Reacher as was happening to me. It was vicarious. Reacher had served in the U.S. Army for 13 years and then...
Made him up, he didn't.
...in the mid-90s.
And I was in the TA.
Please, Lee. This didn't happen.
Lee, the man you've made up isn't real. It feels like that should be an inherent...
I feel like Lee Child might have some kind of rare syndrome where he's sort of unable to sort of process... the sort of metaphor and sort of imagine. He's like, well, no, the symbolism of Jack Reacher is punching. Jack Reacher is a book about punching because punching is cool and America is great.
Do you think you get trained into talking like that, though, if you have enough readers and fans who kind of wish or believe that this person is real and you don't want to ruin it? Mm-hmm. And in the same way that you'd be like, you'd do that with like a kid's book character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's just say that the very hungry caterpillar is, but you know,
lives
you
with me.
You don't want to. Yeah, he's silly. Yeah. Well, I'll let him know.
He's doing all right.
So what was?
Let's just say he's got type 2 diabetes. He's not very well at the moment.
What we're suggesting basically is that Lee Child and Jack Reacher are in a kind of Peter Parker Spider-Man, where it's like, I'm the only one who can write down what Jack Reacher has done.
No. I think it's more of a Tyler Durden situation, where Jack Reacher, like, he sincerely believes that Jack Reacher is real, but he doesn't know that Jack Reacher is him.
Yeah.
And he's having these psychotic episodes where he punches lots of people. Yeah, exactly.
You can sort of liken it to when actors are so well known for one thing that people talk to them. Like, remember, what's his name? Boycie in Only Fools and Horses.
John Chalice.
Over time, he became, like, I'll see posters from him when I'm touring. He's deceased now, but old posters. And it'd be like an evening
posters,
with Boycie.
Don't come to this show. He's dead.
Don't come. He died several years ago, sadly. And he wrote several books called things like memoirs called like Being Boycie, A Bit More Boycie. And there's basically a point in Chalice's life where he was 75% the character from Only Fools and Horses.
I have a question. Did he ever... capitalize on the pun, the Boycie boisterous, you know? Feeling boisterous.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's, like, when he was sort of scraping the barrel a bit.
Well,
do you think he felt bad about sort of the day where he went, you know what? This is what I do. This is what I am now. Or do you think it was like a great, like,
I wonder that all the time about actors who they're just, or anyone that's destined to just be known for one thing. Do you sort of lean into it after a bit? He seemed quite happy to do like evenings where he was just like, another time, I remember David Jason, but it must be a bit of an odd
life. Did he have to update the character of Boycie? You ever read one of these Jack Reacher novels they've got now?
he had a spin-off sitcom that was just about that character.
Green Grass.
Yes, the Green Grass. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name, but I knew you'd know
that. Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was like him and Marlene moved to the country from Peckham. I don't know, Riley's just like glazing over it.
I mean, Riley will know that history is littered with people thinking that one guy off a sitcom should have his own sitcom.
Oh, course, I mean, the Joey effect.
The Joey effect.
Yeah.
I suppose that's what Frasier was, wasn't it? But that worked. That's an anomalous example of it working, I think. Yeah.
I think
Joey, of course.
Oh, really, Boise?
well, we joke. That is what's happened with fucking Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
That's real. You've made up a real thing.
Oh, yeah. There is actually an Only Fools and Horses Frasier crossover now.
The guy from Only Fools and Horses, Nicholas Lyndhurst, is now in the rebooted Frasier, which I haven't seen.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't think I dare to watch it.
I saw a screenshot of him drinking from like a kind of a real ale half pint glass in a big armchair.
Is he going to like be the sort of gruff salt of the earth guy who like lives with Frasier and bothers him?
I think that is the general setup,
really?
Is it? I think.
So he's Marty.
Yeah, but I've avoided finding out too much about the new
you
life
of
Frasier.
For yourself.
Yeah.
This time next year we'll be millionaires.
It just sort of
we'll be sommeliers. This time next year we'll be sommeliers.
Yeah,
we'll
they're doing
the
their master
version.
Of wine qualification.
I think the thing about whether or not you lean into being Boise is whether or not you had any notions you'd be anything else before.
I suppose so, yeah. There are definitely people that are just in a soap or something and they're that guy for 20 years. They must come where they think, I'll just do this the rest of my life. Yeah.
Certainly it has to be the thing where it's like, well, I'm this character and so I'm, you know, Ricky on EastEnders or whoever, right? And that's just me and that's me for 30 years and people see, I'm going to say, hey, Ricky from EastEnders. And I'm like, I just sort of turned that part of my brain off. I love my garden, and this lets me have my garden.
If it was there.
It's as simple as that.
If the part of the brain was there.
Yeah. It's just a very long transaction with the public, where you say, I can have a garden in exchange for saying, all right, or whatever my catchphrase is.
Yeah.
You will pay for my garden if I go,
I'll do a little dance. Directly paid by me doing the equivalent of a somersault every time someone presses a button.
Like your blue beater dog.
Yeah. That is what it is.
A little trick. The most powerful example of that is Barry from EastEnders, who wasn't even on EastEnders for that long. I think like we're talking like maybe 10 years. Character played by Sean Williamson and died by being pushed down a mediumly steep hill in the early 2000s.
Wasn't there someone from EastEnders was doing a Q&A or a pub trivia night or something at the venue where we did a live TF once?
It was a karaoke night hosted by him in character as Barry from EastEnders called Barrioke. Which he does. He tours it around the country.
And quite rightly called Barrioke.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, karaoke with Barry would be a real missed opportunity.
Huge missed. Absolute open goal missed.
He's got good marketing people working on this. That much we can say.
He's got brains behind it.
But it's remarkable because, A, I think they've had to sort of retire the name Barry from EastEnders because he is for all time Barry from EastEnders. But also, he is not... I never see him referred to as Sean Williamson. People always refer to him as Barry from EastEnders, even when he's not doing a Barry from EastEnders adjacent.
His passport says Barry from EastEnders.
Barry EastEnders.
Yeah.
Here's something I like. When actors who have had, they were like a heartthrob or they were very clean cut, and they inevitably have to choose the role where they play like a horrible paedophile.
Yeah.
Or a disgusting
in a desperate attempt to
sort of go, actually, I can be horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, they can be serious.
Yeah.
Pattinson as Batman, maybe, or Good Time.
Pattinson's the horrible paedophile Batman.
Horrible paedophile Batman. They cut a lot of that.
I fight crime apart from one crime.
Apart from one crime that I do.
Which I endorse. Yeah. So it balances out, really. Yeah.
Is this Batman as written... This is Dark Batman as written by Lee Child. Yeah. Just will say, I fight crime except for the one that I do, making me an anti-hero.
Do you think, how funny would it be if you... They finally released the long list of people going to Epstein's Island, and on the list was just Batman. Whoa, my God.
Not him.
Not Batman. He was there to fight the crime. Bruce Wayne going to... Bruce Wayne's going
to dress, oddly, but...
The pilot Master should Wayne, remember this say. One. The pilot. There's one flight the pilot
Your
should remember.
Your moral code is most unorthodox, sir.
Yeah.
I cannot understand why you draw the line at minor street fuggery, but are okay with the molestation of children.
people would be saying,
simply,
it's not that
would be a prime example of people be saying, I always thought there was something about him.
He did have that cave.
Looking back, he got up to some funny stuff, really.
Yeah. It would be like the Jimmy Savile thing, where it's like, it seems insane now that we tolerated it for even a week.
Why did we let Batman do this thing?
The people who loved him.
He had that weird car. All the kids loved it. They'd always, he'd park it in front of the school and they'd come and look, wouldn't they?
Spider-Man was always clambering up buildings and peering in. Yeah. It's hiding in plain sight, really.
Yeah, it's a super voyeur. Spider-Man.
The pedo Avenger. The villain of this movie is a child. And he's a very powerful child and he's going to destroy the universe. On this one occasion, in order to save a lot more children, what we're going to have to do...
It's the Avengers sort of trolley problem film.
I just looked that up on the trailer.
When you, this is the Avengers.
In a complex moral step you didn't expect the Marvel Cinematic Universe to take.
A well-known philosophical riddle.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe, finding it is unable to continue juicing the numbers, has taken a strange turn.
With Philip Seymour Hoffman as the child.
I'd love to see, if we could resurrect Philip Seymour Hoffman and have him in a Marvel movie directed by Werner Herzog, that would be quite interesting.
Yeah. The pedophile Avengers and Boise.
Speaking of all these guys, so I'm looking at this page for Sean Williamson. Mm-hmm. You know, he worked as a rep for Club 18 to 30.
Yeah.
Recently or?
Yeah, it'd be very funny to be like.
In character.
Yeah. Club 18 to 30, which is for American viewers, a place that British people go to get chlamydia, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
From people who work there who just have chlamydia.
It's an efficient way of picking it up. Yeah. If you need chlamydia quickly.
It's a very efficient way of collecting on like Zante and then distributing chlamydia throughout a group and then sending them home to spread chlamydia at home. That's basically what Club 18 to 30 is.
And there's a very different friendship group you can be in that has two girls in it called Zante and Chlamydia, but it's from a different kind of social class.
I just never would have guessed, sort of, again, that this guy who's sort of famous for being sort of hapless and now sort of... you wouldn't imagine him basically as... your job is to be kind of hot, more or less.
Well, the other thing he's famous for is singing songs just well enough for it to be weird. Like he gets hired sometimes to sing a song at an event, like the opening of like an event where they can't afford like Leona Lewis, you know, like where they can't afford Alexandra Burke, but they need
Chesney
someone.
Chesney Hawkes is unavailable.
Yeah. They couldn't get Chumbawamba. The Wamba were booked out. They had to get someone to sing a kind of uplifting anthem. And there was one where he was singing at the World Bowls Championship, which was occurring in the UK somewhere, and he sang Something Inside So Strong. And it's like...
That's such a distillation.
It's like a really good karaoke version, but it's still kind of karaoke in it.
Yeah. He's not quite a singer, but he's also better than a normal man.
Yeah. Like, if you'd have pulled him out of the audience and been like, someone do Something Inside So Strong and you'll win this microwave.
You'd be like,
fuck, that guy was good.
But if it's £5,000 to do that...
Yeah, you're like, oh, you could have... Someone better could have done
him
that.
Him singing that at the World Bowls Championship is like such a powerful...
It like really is.
But mind.
You forget the song was about bowls.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of bowlers, they've overcome a lot of adversity. Yeah. You know, rheumatoid arthritis, gout.
The more you refuse to throw the jack, is it the harder I will bowl?
If you were there, you'd think I'm experiencing something so powerfully...
Yeah.
Not How even Twee. What do I mean?
It's
Little England or...
It's, yeah. That song of all songs, it does feel as if it's been through the washing machine a few times by the time it is the anthem of
and
the World
for him
Bowls
to sing it to bowls players.
Yeah.
If it was found, does that count as found art, something like that?
Well, it's certainly sort of outsider art.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask another, take this in a slightly different direction.
Okay.
Which is, Mark, you are, I'm very glad to see another person who does this. You are someone...
I wonder what's coming.
Run as a means of conveyance, which I enjoy.
Yeah, the thing is, I was going to say I like running. I don't even know if that's true. You don't exactly like it, but I have there are two forces in me: the urge to go for runs, but also the feeling of not quite being asked to. So quite a lot of the time, having to be somewhere is what prompts me to run. But it does mean that I do. For anyone that's watching this as well as listening to it, I do quite a lot of normal
activities in not dressed appropriately. I mean, you guys are just in clothes that people would wear. And I've got a top on which I got at the Commonwealth Games 5 years ago.
Mm. It's what was your event?
Javelin. I don't talk about it. It was only bronze.
Balls, actually.
So you also do
the
that?
Weirdest part is it was Equatorial Guinea.
You also run to get places.
Sometimes.
I've never known you to do this.
Yeah, well, I don't do it often. I usually do it if I've been drinking. And there's and I'm sort of...
Riley's off again. He's hammered.
Sprinting.
Yeah. So, getting into your trainers and vest.
Away from the police, generally, yeah.
So the last time I did, it was quite some time ago. So I live in Haringey. I was out in Islington. And I sort of left. And all the Ubers were sort of, 10 minutes, 12 minutes. It was sort of that. And I looked at the bus and I was like, it's going to be 12 minutes. So I just started walking, and I was like, I quite fancy being in bed, so I just started running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have also done that. I find, I don't know if it is an odd thing, but I find waiting for a bus so annoying that a lot of people regard it as more effort to walk or run, obviously, but I'm almost the opposite.
It's less mental enervation.
Frustration. Yeah, exactly. Enervation is the word. Yeah. I find it weirdly draining to just be standing.
Boredom
is
like agony.
Yeah, I'd rather put myself through physical discomfort than just stand with nothing happening.
Because you've got a grind set. You see that as time that you could be spent pushing yourself forward.
Exactly. These 8 minutes, time is money, man. This bus driver is taking money out of my pocket.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm just going to the bafflement of everybody else just standing and waiting, take off running.
Yeah, as if I've suddenly heard some news.
I've got that thing where animals sense earthquakes long before humans.
Yeah. I can't tell you why, but I have to run for exactly 20 minutes in that direction now.
This bus stop's going to get hit by a fucking asteroid.
If you knew what I knew, you'd also be running
you'd
now.
Be running in the same direction as me.
Not enough to walk. This is going to be bad. You got to... But I wonder, what do the people at that bus... What are they thinking at that bus stop? Yeah. Just standing there.
They're thinking, you didn't need to run a minute ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't even looked at his phone or anything. Exactly. He can only have become aware by other means of something about to happen.
There must be some sense, something eldritch.
He did briefly look to the horizon.
Yeah.
And then his head snapped around like a deer in the forest, and then he was just gone.
Of it, really. Yeah.
Yeah, he was so relaxed when he was just staring at the same board of times that we were all staring at.
And walking at normal pace is just kind of boring, isn't it? Yeah. It's
Yes.
That said, when I set off to run here from my home, I had... a naive understanding of how long Mare Street is.
It's a long street.
When I saw the sign, I thought, I've basically nailed this on time, but there's plenty of it.
Keeps
going. Yeah. Mm. You should, I mean, the worst for this is when you're in somewhere like the USA and you believe you've found the street, but there's another hour of the street still.
They live at 6,024.
They live at 4 million.
And you're at 52. Yeah.
4 million on 20th Street.
That is crazy to me. When you go to America and they're like, oh yeah, my address is like 4,000 and something this street. It's like, make a new street, cunt. It doesn't need to be that long.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. You can change the name of the road. Like, there's like one street that goes from New York to Los Angeles, and you can live at like 10,029.
Yeah. 10 billion Los Angeles roads.
There is.
That sounds like a kind of very avant-garde novel.
It does.
Yeah. 10 billion Los Angeles roads. People will be queuing up for that.
Live on the A1.
As who's the author of Lincoln and the Bardo?
George Saunders.
George Saunders. If you're dressed up in your George Saunders costumes, you're queuing up for 1 billion Los Angeles road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The road you never come to the end of. Yeah, you can sort of imagine it. Yeah.
The whole thing's it's an extended metaphor for roads. Lee Child has written it.
I've got my J.M. Coetzee sombrero on. ready to have my mind blown by an indistinct place and time.
I'm dressed as the barbarians from Waiting for the Barbarians.
Yeah.
J.M. Coetzee is another Lee Child pseudonym. he's like, well, of course, I've always enjoyed being cozy, or as I call it, Coetzee.
And it was
then
a joke
I decided
in the family,
to pretend to be South African.
one of those streets actually does exist in Canada.
Right.
Canadian listeners will be, Yonge Street.
Yonge Street.
It goes from the sort of north shore of Lake Ontario to the south shore of Lake Simcoe, which is just a a gigantic, it's multiple
lake
cities.
Lake Simcoe
of street.
Sounds like it was named after a local company on one of those sponsor a lake programs. Like yeah. Your name here.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful yeah. Lake Simcoe. Yeah.
Yeah. Lake Vodafone. Yeah.
We make motorcycle parts. But yeah, it's great to have our name on the lake. You know, people love the lake. They associate it with us. And they when they need a motorcycle part, like a two-stroke oil or whatever, they come to us.
Lake LaBarra.
There is quite a lot of untapped revenue there,
lake
if you think
LaBarra
about it.
LaBarra Mobile.
Lake LaBarra. Mobile.
You could call home from here.
Yeah. They just beam the logo onto the lake.
There's a drowning man, we believe he's somewhere in the R.
I like when you see the LaBarra money transfer advert and you look and you go, there's always a flag I'm not sure about.
Yeah.
You just go, who's transferring money to? There's a star and a griffin?
Yeah.
Where
yeah. Question mark. Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, a question mark, and half the flag is like dark green and neon pink. Mm. Where the fuck is that?
There are some tiny fucking countries out there.
Yeah. So I play every morning with my girlfriend. We play three games.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's a pretty normal way to begin the conversation.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
That's a very Duolingo sentence.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Years and more.
chaque matin.
My girlfriend finds trousers to be gauche.
My girlfriend, with whom I play the three games.
With whom I play the three games.
My girlfriend, who I have played three games with,
is wearing a green top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, girlfriend is depressed about France.
So three games.
Three games.
Like most relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
They say we don't want game playing in the relationship. You've never heard of the games we play.
Mm.
So it's lame to play Wordle now. But there's
is
two.
Is that what you're concerned about with your morning fucking word game?
It's gonna be cool word games. Yeah, yeah.
Wordle is not chic. We can't play Wordle. Yeah. If they catch us playing Wordle, they'll never let us into the New York Times crossword. You know what it's like. If you're seen outside Wordle, it gets round.
She hates the New York Times crossword as well.
Oh, okay.
She finds it ever since one of the answers was Shaw.
What?
P-S-H-A-W, which is sort of a sort of old American way of showing disdain.
Like, yeah. Shaw. Scoffing.
It's the noise of a deflating tire.
Yeah. Or like a snuck fart.
I believe that's the first. It's the first time I've heard of someone hating a crossword.
Yeah.
Like, not a specific crossword, but like having a grudge against an institutional crossword. That's a very unusual beat for your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's fucking New York Times crossword. Don't even look at it.
I don't mind the cartoons, but the crossword I take issue with. If it's just cutting it out of the paper every week.
Shielding your eyes so you can look at the cartoon without catching a bit of the crossword.
Unless it be another infuriating clue.
Permanent marker. So
anyway, these three games.
Yeah, three games.
sorry.
Hercule Poirot being like, I detest these clues.
No, Pshaw is a bit of a meme in the relationship now.
Oh, okay.
No, the three game. One of them is New York Times Connections, which is like only connect the board.
New York Times Connections, yeah. Whose dad was a columnist and that's why they're now a feature writer, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Radio 4, call me.
The second one is Tradle, where you get a kind of box plot of different exported goods and a total value of exports. And based on sort of your understanding of the exports of that country and its approximate economic size, you guess the country.
Excuse me?
What? This is the autism diagnostic test. This isn't a newspaper game.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to be there. I've got my Tradle to work on.
Yes, this is like the games that that hyperintelligent family play to shame Lisa Simpson.
In Simpsons, yeah, yeah.
here are the top five Alec exports. Guinness. Guess the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Fava beans.
It really.
Cocoa. Gold.
Oh, that's a lovely one. Yeah.
That's basically what you're describing as a West African country.
Just imagining being at like the hair salon, like all the aunties there, being like, Jane, what do you reckon the GDP of Gabon is? Four numbers.
Yeah. It can't be more than Chad, can it?
Where would you mind Flint? Industrial Flint.
Cornwall doesn't fit. And then, I've tried that.
Okay. After Connections and Tradle.
Connections and Tradle, it's Worldle.
I've seen that.
Just an outline of a country. So
map game.
I love a map game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really.
Does it then dramatically fill the country in color?
Do you sort of zone in on
like
that? Like it tells you how many miles out you are from your first guess, right?
Yes,
okay. Yeah.
I like this guy. But also, I see
sort of a, oh, wait, a huge... are you thinking of GeoGuessr?
No, it's Worldle.
No, it's Worldle.
They give you an if you
well,
see
the GeoGuessr does sound like a blast, by the way.
Oh, GeoGuessr is so much fun.
Yeah.
I wish we could somehow play it for this. It's not possible.
Yeah.
But if we could play it for this show, it'd be great.
GeoGuessr is a game where they
excuse
put
me,
you...
Milo. Did you say GeoGuessr?
No, I said GeoGuessr.
You very much put the emphasis Geogesser. On the O.
GeoGuessr.
GeoGuessr.
GeoGuessr. Well, that was like that was what living in Russia was like. Was just people continually using English words, and those were the only words you didn't understand of what they'd said when you're speaking. Because they would say it in the most fucked up way. I remember once a guy was talking to me about some kind of audio question. We were like editing a video or something, and then he kept saying like "нам понадобится Pro Tools." And I was like, what's a Pro Tools? It sounds like one of these like Latin words that they've like Slavonized.
They've
and
absorbed
then,
in.
And then eventually he like sent me a screenshot of what he was working on. I was like, oh, the music editing software Pro Tools.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
Pro Tools.
Pro Tools.
And I'm like, how is that a logical way to say that in your head?
But I suppose like, if you're not saying it as pro and tools. Yeah, as two syllables.
There is some capitalization there that he's chosen to our
portals. The big T is there to help you, I suppose. Yeah.
But maybe he thinks it's like German, where they just go, let's just capitalize the word ham today.
Yeah.
yeah. Put some respect on its name.
Yeah. People do that in the world. Germans and Donald Trump.
We have long respected ham in this country. And that is what sets us apart from the French.
Yeah.
No. Well, I do find it perturbing.
Now Sass on the fence about ham.
Yeah, it's all nouns, isn't it, in German? Mm. Capitalized,
but not always all of them. It's very hard to tell. It's much. It feels like one of those things where they go, "Well, you just know."
You have to be one
you
of
just
us.
Have to
basically.
Be one of us. Or like the French with the gender of things, so they just go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously it's a woman.
Obviously, it's le table.
Yeah.
Come on,
the table have, look, you've got a penis. You fucking idiot.
We have
look at the big balls on my table.
We have two toasted sandwiches. One of them is a man, and one of them is a woman.
I really do like the idea of getting truck nuts on your dining table.
Yeah. Le table.
That's pretty great.
That's how you would teach a kid the genders of objects around the house. Just put little scrotums all over
them. Yeah.
Put little nuts all over the metal objects.
Like a Roman trying anything they could do to strengthen a wall.
Yeah.
We're going to put dicks on it so it won't fall down.
Cover it in dicks.
Yeah.
Portraying feminine objects as emotional somehow in your house. Like, just finding ways to like really be sexist to objects.
Yeah.
Well, I do like the idea, though, of the Roman practice of putting dicks on things to make them stronger. Because to do that to a wall, what you're doing is providing handhold, really.
Or to climb a wall of dicks.
But you'd have to become gay. And that's the trick. Oh, well, try climbing this wall without touching a few dicks.
Yeah.
And the Gallic barbarians like, foiled
damn
again.
Foiled by my own toxic idea of sexuality again. I would have opened the door to the treasure chest.
What do we do now, Vercingetorix? I don't know. Caesar has covered the wall with dicks.
Well, he covered them
he's bested us again.
Tit-based handholds. And they were climbed with great glee.
We will cut off the penises and then the balls will become tits and then we can climb them.
Drawn.
Ingenious.
That's what happened to Romulus Augustulus, you know? I think the barbarians finally figured out they could do that.
Yeah.
The Teutoburg forest.
That's
what
it was.
They covered all the trees with tit.
Yeah.
That's right.
Germans were too busy looking at them. If you want to talk about funny flags, there's no funnier flag than the Isle of Man, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, what, the three legs?
Three legs.
That's fun.
Legs just sort of floating around,
just hanging out.
Yeah, just three legs sort of shaped like a windmill.
It looks like
not you, Sicily. Yeah. Your three legs.
If you built a machine to kick footballs over and over again, like if they were on like
which is the Isle of Man's major contribution to
we invented the ball kicker.
Yeah. Didn't really take off, but we'd really put it on a flag by then. We sort of imagined it was going to be a bigger deal than it was.
It was really big for 10 years of the 1700s.
Yeah.
And the Industrial Revolution. That's a steam-powered kicker.
We believed it would live forever.
like how some countries have a Kalashnikov on their flag. The Isle of Man put the auto kicker.
Yeah, the auto kicker.
Of course, these days, if you were to kick a ball, you'd just do it yourself or ask a local child. But in those days, you had the steam-powered ball kicker. They were made on the Isle of Man. Of course, we don't make anything in the British Isles anymore. But in those days, it were made on the Isle of Man.
That's it. And also, like a lot of old northern men, Fred Dibner would have had a curiously strong opinion on the Isle of Man, I find.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've always been there on their holidays. When they were tiny
children.
Oh,
yeah, that's very believable. The Isle of Man TT, but only with steam-powered craft.
Yeah.
You get people that only ever go to one place on holiday and that's just their thing.
They just go there forever.
Yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. And if it's the Isle of Man, that's really perverse.
Yeah, that's just
because the weather
choice,
there
yeah.
has got to be bad, just based on geography. Oh, okay.
Because of the
Gulf
ocean?
Stream?
The Gulf Stream goes right up through between it, Ireland and...
Between the narrow channel of Wales and Ireland and then it hits squarely on Douglas.
Those cunning Manx men with their channel.
Right. Mm. It's as much better weather than the equivalent other side of the country on like the North Sea coast.
Mm. Yeah. Gosh, it were the peculiar meteorological conditions created by the ocean currents known as the Gulf Stream that created Mark Cavendish's thighs. And that's what enabled him to sprint on a bicycle at 50 mile an hour.
And he had, the two of the legs on the flag are his now.
Yeah. The two as really a, chunky legs.
Thank you.
Instead of the suit of armour, they're in like Lycra.
Yeah, yeah. Three Lycra legs on a flag or something.
Just like
his
hairs
personal
drawn
logo,
on the lower
surely. If he ever does that sportsman thing of becoming ennobled, his like crest should absolutely be like three lycra clad legs.
Yeah, maybe spelling out the M and C of his initials or something. Yeah, a designer could do that.
Bicycle wheel sort of behind it. That would be good.
Yeah.
So you're looking up weird Isle of Man fact.
Yeah, well, I like thinking about the. I never think about the Isle of Man.
Well, it's time to start, Riley.
Yeah.
It's never too late. Get
on it.
Well, it's so the just the wealthy. There are two billionaires in the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
The one is
the guy who invented the ball kicker.
Yeah, I'm the guy who designed the flag.
No, he is. there's the descendant of the ball kicker family.
Yeah, that's right.
They've fallen on hard times and sort of ended up marrying sort of wealthy social climbers.
Yeah, they had to sell off Ball Kick Manor.
Yeah. to a dominatrix.
The Mark de Ballon
to a wealthy dominatrix.
It comforted us to feel there was still ball kicking going on. Yeah, in a way.
Well, of course, my great grandfather could never have imagined that his device.
It brings joy to so many strange men.
That's it, yeah.
Whatever, I was...
Joy, I presume.
My grandfather was only familiar with CBT as cognitive behavioural therapy. But...
the least likely thing for a northern grandfather to be familiar with. Cognitive behavioural therapy.
For CBT,
a lot of people who'd worked down the mines, you know, they'd seen terrible things. They'd seen friends crashed under lumps of coal and such the like. So many of them needed some kind of group therapy, you know.
Mindfulness.
But, you know, they couldn't afford to be talking to therapists for hours and nights. What CBT was what you got. You got a few methods for coping mechanisms and the like, and then you moved on.
And miners were always into mindfulness and stuff like that. They were so in the moment down there. They're so grateful.
They're so mindful.
You always had your canary, and then you had your group BetterHelp subscription.
Yes. Yeah.
But BetterHelp, of course, they came on paper back then.
There should have been another animal that would get sad before the men in the mine, so they could tell when the mental health was in danger.
Yeah. A raccoon or something. Yeah.
A droopy dog.
The dog comes out looking dejected, and you're like, uh-oh. He's not dead, but he's suffering from...
He's listless.
Yeah.
We need to get
he's
these
listless.
Yeah, we need to get these guys around a table and talk about their feelings.
Why, sir, the mood in the mine is sure to be melancholy. The melancholy collie has emerged from the mine.
The dog is smiling, but not in his eyes.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would say triggers you? Yeah, it's being underground doing terrible work for not that much money.
being in fear of my life.
My lungs filling up with terrible tars.
Feeling like I'm working in my own grave, I would say.
What's that about? Well, again, I must come back to the sort of terrible danger and fear, really.
Physical reality of where I am.
Can we unpack that? Well, we don't need to. No, it's just a fucking awful job and it's for the rest of my life.
There's no way I can get any more beyond the physical risk of this job.
I see. Yes, I think we're done in that case.
Yeah. Well, you should probably not go down that tunnel again.
Yeah.
And I'm not speaking metaphorically.
Yeah.
Shouldn't go down that dangerous, dangerous tunnel.
Don't go down that tunnel.
No.
Yeah. Look, the dog is weeping. You can't be in there.
The
mental health is terrible.
The dog has started to rewatch the US Office. This can't be good. This is one of the most dangerous minds we've ever worked in.
Yeah. And he watches the credits every time.
Yeah. Yeah, the full theme tune.
Yeah.
yeah. staring through the TV.
Did people mention new shows? He's not interested.
He says he's adding them to a list, but he's not, the dog's not watching.
The dog's posted an Instagram story. He's having cereal for dinner. Oh, dear. We better get those men out of the mine straight away. Pump the Prozac in, the Prozac yeah. gas.
The dog's doing a cryptic Facebook post about finding out who your real friends are.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So you've got to evacuate this mine immediately.
And he's openly refreshing the page to see how many people have liked it.
Oh, my God. The dog has bought and then had refunded under his rights in a 24-hour cooling off period return tickets to Italy for an Eat Pray Love.
The dog has started
Eat Pray Love in Italy is very funny. Like the most exotic country I could think of, Italy.
Italy.
I must learn
it.
I thought it was like an India.
Eat is in Italy. No, it's Eats in Italy.
Oh, okay.
And then Pray's in India, and I don't know where Love is.
Not going to eat any of that Indian food. It doesn't agree with me. I'll start off. I'll do the Eat bit in Italy.
Yeah. Love is in Belfast. They eat in Italy.
Street.
Are you sure
you're in the right pub, love?
Yes, I've done the eat and the pray.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Walking, my photos of India.
Having a photo taken in your sort of appropriated sari outside a UDF mural.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you could do the pray in Belfast. Just be careful about which length Lord's Prayer you're using in which church. Yeah.
Back parade!